John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive away to Bowling Green, Kentucky. So we heard from the Titans coordinators earlier today. The Tennessee Titans are now on the practice field for the first official media day out at OTAs. Derrick Henry is there. Ryan Tannehill is there. We have all the new guys there. Azeez Al-Shaair, Arden Key, Daniel Brunskill. Jeffrey Simmons is out there. I saw the Tennessee Titans put out on their Twitter page a little Treylon Burks video of a nice little one-handed catch. So that's fun there. I know that'll get the people going. So nice.
He's going to be awesome.
Hey, look out, everyone. Breakout season. Breakout season. I love it. I love the overreaction.
You got to love the hope.
Got to love the hope. Hope springs eternal. But I want to go back to the very first thing that we talked about today. The number one thing that I was looking for today at OTAs. And it wasn't Burks. It wasn't where Peter Skoronski was lining up. It wasn't what Will Levis was doing. It was about simply who is or who is not there. And that was Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard is one of those players that is just always there. He always does the right thing. In the offseason, during the season, during games, before games, after games, Kevin Byard is just the picture-perfect player that I think every coach would love to have 53 carbon copies of on their roster. Kevin Byard is just always doing the right thing. But as we know, let's rewind to a couple of months ago. It was reported that the Titans asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Rand Carthon confirmed in his pre-draft press conference that he did, in fact, ask Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. So we don't know where that stands, but at least we can pick up some breadcrumbs that if he's not there today, then there are still a whole lot of things with his contract to be resolved. Maybe they're at a standstill within the organization. Maybe Kevin Byard is disgruntled with the organization for asking him to take a pay cut. However Kevin Byard feels about it, I think he's totally justified. But Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, was at the podium and provided an update on Kevin Byard's whereabouts. This was Shane Bowen.
I know Kevin wasn't initially at OTA. I don't know if he is today or not. But I guess how much of an absence, if he's not here, you know, does that mean for leadership? And
yeah, obviously he's a huge part of what we do here. He's been our leader, him along with Jeff. Harold, some of these guys have played a ton of snaps for us. They're reliable. They're dependable in all aspects of what it takes to play at this level at a high level. So, again, like, it's a business. We all understand that. Everybody has a different way about how they train in the off season. It's no secret. Some guys do things differently. Some guys are here. Some guys aren't. It's not just Kevin, you know. So, he's a big part of what we do. I will say, I think for the young guys, they miss it. You know, like I have zero doubt that Kevin Byard is not going to be ready to go when he gets here. Right? He works his butt off. He does everything the right way. He's a pro's pro. He knows what we do schematically. He communicates. I think really for me, it's the leadership that those young guys see, and they're going to learn pretty quickly what Kevin Byard is and why he's so successful the moment he steps in this door. But, I mean, it's part of the business, you know, it's part of the league. Some guys here, some aren't, and I have no doubt Kevin's going to be ready to go when he does walk through that door.
So a very long-winded way of saying Kevin Byard is not there today. He also was not there at OTAs when the players only practice. And to Shane Bowen's point, I also have no doubt that Kevin Byard, when he needs to be there, will be there in good shape, will be there ready to go, will be ready to hit the ground running. Just like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry usually doesn't go to OTAs. He usually just shows up for the mandatory parts of mini camp and training camp. But every time Derrick Henry shows up, he's in good shape. He's ready to go. We never have to worry about Derrick Henry not being in good enough shape for the mandatory period. I don't doubt that with Kevin Byard. But it's just the idea that he's not there. He's always there.
In other words, his previous history shows that he's comes to the OTAs.
Yes.
And now he's not. So we know something's different. So what does that mean, right? I agree with you. I don't think the coaches are sweating just simply that he's not there on the field for these workouts. He's going to be fine. But
physically, he'll be fine.
The question is, how has it been left with the situation? Can they ride it out with the contract as it is right now with a cap hit of over $19 million? It's not ideal. We know that. So the discussion we know was, hey, would you take a little less money? No. Okay. So what are your options if you're Rand Carthon? Cut him? Don't think they want to do that. Kick the can down the road, rework the contract, give him more money up front, do the old push the pile down the road. That's not something I don't think they want. I don't think they want to do right now either. They don't want to do that. And then option three is just, okay, we let it ride. We'll pay him the money this year, and then we'll be over the hump, and it won't be an issue down the road. We'll just swallow the money now. Can they do that and still do all the other things they want to do with the roster? That's the question. And it's been a lingering question ever since this came up in March. It has not been addressed.
That's what kind of carries on him not being there, just carries on that lingering cloud over the organization. If he was there, doesn't necessarily mean that everything is worked out, but it means that it's in a place where both Kevin Byard and the organization feel like they can move forward and that Kevin Byard can be within the facility. This tells me it's not quite there yet, and it's still going to be a thing moving forward. It is voluntary. I understand that. But I think that this proves that Kevin Byard is very obviously either disgruntled or they're still going through negotiations, which, look, this happens in the NFL. Players don't come to the voluntary periods if their contracts are being worked through. But I think you have to answer the overarching question of, one, does this organization want Kevin Byard? And two, does Kevin Byard want to be with this organization? And I think that both of those answers to those questions are both yes. But when Shane Bowen mentioned that Kevin Byard was not there, he was asked a follow-up of, how do you think that things stand between Kevin Byard and the organization? This was Shane Bowen.
Kevin?
Yep.
And do you feel comfortable that he's in a good spot with the team?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think so. I have no reservations about Kevin.
Not necessarily a vote of confidence.
Well, you know, if everything were fine with the contract, they would never have asked him, of all people, to take a pay cut. Like, so you know that there's an issue there with the cap hit. And it's really a reflection of the whole cap situation of the team, not specifically Kevin Byard. He's worth a lot. He's a valuable guy. But that cap hit has gone up because they've already reworked his contract a couple of times. So there's a sticking point there. How leveraged is the sticking point? Do they have to address it? Or can they find a way around it? I think until we see otherwise, we're going to wonder.
Right. And that goes back to the question of, do we want him? Does he want to be here?
Yes. We know yes.
Yes.
But then
you can move forward that way.
Right, but you have to compromise things around him. We mentioned it. He's got a huge cap hit relative to other safeties. He's better than most of the other safeties, right? But that's a huge chunk to pay to a safety.
It is.
And on top of that, you're paying your tailback way more than most teams pay their tailback.
And that's why it balloons, Rand Carthon asked him for
it takes up space. It takes up it's less room to address a pretty thin roster.
Yeah, and it's something that I do think is going to get worked through. But again, what do I know? All we know is that Kevin Byard is not there. All we know is that the contract is still up in the air. Maybe it gets worked through, but also we need to start thinking realistically that it might not get worked
out. Well, okay, let's just try to use logic here. If they told Kevin, hey, you know, we asked you for the pay cut. You said no. We looked at it. We're going to be fine. you're going to pay for, you're going to play at this number. We don't need to rework anything. Would he be there?
I would say so.
I would think so, yes,
so
if that's his track
still
record.
Up in the air.
So something's up in the air.
Something's up.
That would be my logical take from 10,000 feet.
Totally.
Not having talked to anybody about it.
100%. And that's why it was such an urgent point for me that if he was there or not, if he's there, okay, we can work through this. If he's not, something's still up. And I don't know where it is. I don't know where they stand. I don't know if his agent is in communication with Rand Carthon and they're actively working through it. And he's like, hey, I'm just going to hold back for now. Or maybe it's gotten really bad. Maybe Kevin Byard is really disgruntled. I don't know. But all we know for certain is that he is not there, which means to us, it's still up in the air. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get more into some OTA talk in your phones as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Plus, we've got something to give away, so stick around. We will give away some pretty great concert tickets at the end of the segment. We have some thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, on Kevin Byard. Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, was up at the podium at the first official media day of OTAs and said that Kevin Byard isn't there. And, of course, he expands on, you know, we believe in Kevin. We know that Kevin is going to come back and be 100%, going to be ready to go. And I don't doubt that in the slightest. But it does tell us that there's still something going on with the contract, whatever that might be. But between him and his people and his camp and the Tennessee Titans and their people and their camp, they're still at a crossroads. Michael in Clarksville texts in and says, you can't ask a guy for a pay cut and then keep the player on the team if they say no. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because I think Rand Carthon, even though it may have blown up in his face a little bit, was doing his job in looking at a guy with a really big cap hit this year. And maybe the way that he went about it wasn't the best way to go about it. Rookie GM, maybe look into all of your avenues, look into where all of your payroll is going and make that assessment moving forward. I can understand Kevin Byard saying, look, I've been nothing but available and consistent and productive and a leader for this team. No, I'm not taking a pay cut. So if Kevin Byard says no, I don't think that you have to cut him just because he said no.
Of course you don't have to, but you have to make alternate adjustments.
Yeah.
Because the assumption is, again, if you asked him to take a pay cut, that means you need money to address other things. That's how I took it. And we know about the NFL salary cap. You have ways to massage it. You got ways to push it back.
Yep.
But, okay. So if it's not a pay cut, it doesn't sound like they made an ultimatum to him. Like, it's either a pay cut, because this does happen, right? I go to you, the veteran player, and I say, all right, Caroline, look, it's been a great ride, but you're just not what you used to be, and this cap figure has got to be addressed. I can offer you a spot to stay on the team. We'd love to have you, but you got to take a pay cut. And if you don't, I'm going to have to cut you. We just don't have another option.
Yeah.
That happens a lot in this league. That's going to happen in June with some other players, right? Not ones that are as productive and vibrant probably as Kevin Byard right now. So the question is, how serious are the other issues for the salary cap? And where do you go for the money? Like, if you, I just feel like they wouldn't have asked him if there weren't some other things they'd like to be able to do. On June 1st, you hear some players become available on June 1st that weren't available before. Could this team use a little boost here and there? There's a wide receiver. Like, we know the answer, right?
Yeah.
There's plenty of spots on this roster you could use some help, even if it's just depth. But if you don't have the funds to do it, you either got to pass on those types of players, or you got to make an adjustment to Byard's contract, or you got to rework it and push the pile down. You already have dead money that's been piling up. That's, I think, $36 million right now.
Yeah. And was Rand Carthon's approach. We'll ask him for a pay cut. If he says yes, then great. If he says no, we'll go back to the drawing room and reevaluate. Because I would agree with you. if there was a way to not have to ask Kevin Byard to take a pay cut, which I think is kind of a slap in the face
to
Kevin
Byard. Yeah,
you
didn't want to have to do that.
Then we wouldn't do that. But I also don't think that they want to just cut Kevin Byard.
Well, maybe they presented it like this. Look, if we want to have a good team, like you're getting up there in age, you're not going to be playing forever, right? For us to be, it's the Tom Brady, right?
Right.
If you'll take a little less, I can have more to help you, right? I can do some other things with our roster that can help us be better this year. If it, you know, that's kind of how you have to present that, I would think.
I would say so.
And, you know, obviously a guy like Tom Brady has done some version of that, right? But it's Kevin Byard's right to say, no, I've reworked my contract a couple times. You know, I helped you out over here. Now, it was in his benefit. Most of the time when you rework a contract, it's to the player's benefit, right? You get that more, you get more money
up front. You get more cash
up front. And it pushes the credit card bill down. That's where they're at right now. The credit card bill is, if it's not due, it's getting to the size like, you know, we got to do something here. $19 million.
And they can extend it out.
He's never played at this high of a cap, and the same is true with Derrick Henry.
Right, and they can extend it out more if they want to.
If they want to, but there's a price to pay down the road. And it's an older, you got Tannehill and Henry at the stages of their careers, mm-hmm. right? We know there's a new era coming up.
Wes in Clarksville texts in and says, if the Titans can't handle Tannehill's contract and now Byard, how will they ever be able to pay Will Levis if he makes it past his rookie one?
We got 4 years to figure that out.
I'm not worried about Will Levis' second contract.
Yeah, not
I'm
yet.
Worried about, is Will Levis going to be the franchise quarterback that this team needs? What can Will Levis do this year?
You
I'm
hope.
Not worried about his
you hope you
contract.
Have to do that.
You hope.
That'd be great.
You're working out a second contract with Will Levis. Also, what could the Titans not handle with Tannehill's contract?
Well, that's another option, right? If you're saying, okay, we don't want to, Kevin won't take the pay cut. Here's Tannehill. Cap hit 38 point something million,
could
right? 27.
Him. Don't want to do
you
that.
Can mess with that. But they've already gone to that well. That's the dilemma. So we look at Henry, Tannehill, and Byard, and we've had this question for months mm-hmm. now. Can they eat it and just everything, you know, find a way, or will they address at least one of those contracts to relieve the pressure of that much cap space being tied up into three veteran players?
It's not that they can't handle it. If the Titans wanted to extend Ryan Tannehill and, you know, take a little bit of the cap hit off from this year, they could do that if they wanted to. I don't think that they want to. I don't think that you, the fan, want the Titans to continue to extend Ryan Tannehill any further than this year. It's been loud and clear from the Titans. They've drafted two quarterbacks 2 years in a row. It is loud and clear. They are ready to move on from Ryan Tannehill. Don't keep holding yourself on to a guy and continuing to pay a guy if you're just ready to cut ties with him. Ken Waverly texts in and says, are you seriously talking about Kevin Byard onto the next subject? It's the reality of what we are working with Kevin Byard and the Tennessee Titans. That's why it was such a big topic of conversation today at OTAs. Is Kevin Byard there or is he not? Because it may not get to the point where the Titans have to cut Kevin Byard. But it may get to that point. It is a reality of what we're living in right now with the Titans.
Well, okay, let's use a lesser established player, but you know, for months, since Eli Tolvanen has done well for Seattle, there's been a lot of people going, look at this. What a huge mistake. How did they let Eli Tolvanen go? Well, what happened was there was pressure on the salary cap with injured players, and it left them with tough choices. None of them were the ideal choice, and they chose a tough choice of trying to sneak him through waivers, mm-hmm. and they got burned, right? It has backfired big time, and who knows how long. Eli Tolvanen is going to be a really good player in the league. It's probably going to be pretty long, right? He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And the Predators will have to overcome that. That was a tough choice. I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, that they're going to cut Kevin Byard. But somewhere in here, it looks like there's going to be a tough choice where they're going to have to do something that they really wouldn't ideally do. And you leave yourself open for second guessing and, you know, getting burned for that kind of thing. Like, can you imagine if they cut Kevin Byard and he goes on and he's all pro for the next 2 years on his new team?
It would, you know, suck.
Absolutely. But this is what happens when you get crunched in the salary cap. Mm-hmm. That's where the choices have to be made. Or if they push the money down the road and he is less productive and you're paying this enormous bill on a team that's trying to rebuild, and it sets you back because now you're really behind the eight ball for the next couple of years with dead money. I mean, these are the kind of things. What we tend to do as fans is we only look at what it does for this year, and we don't look for how does it impact next year's salary cap and the year after that.
And I would agree that the idea of cutting Kevin Byard probably sounds crazy. I mean, it probably sounds catastrophic to cut or move on from a player or trade a player that's only been available and productive to you. That is, a franchise player in this town. Everybody loves Kevin Byard. How do you move on from Kevin Byard? How do you cut Kevin Byard? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it is in the cards. Unfortunately, it's a business. It would not be the first time that a team would have to move on from or trade a franchise beloved player because of the business aspect of things.
Well, trade is the other thing that you know, we have not really talked about a whole lot, and that's what I don't know what the market would be. I don't know how a team that would trade for Byard would look at his contract and say, okay, here's what we would be responsible for. This is what we have with our cap space. This is what we'd be willing to give up. That's one I don't really know.
Got to look at the market.
I haven't seen that really speculated much by national people either, too. So, you know, I don't know that they've really put his name out there on the trade circuit.
I think that there would be a market for Kevin Byard, a player like that that's consistently healthy, who's just such a great leader in the locker room. But to be realistic, he's a 30-year-old safety who has almost a $20 million cap hit. So you would have to do some working of the contract. Maybe the Titans would have to eat some money, or they take a much lower draft pick in compensation for Kevin Byard. Because if I'm an NFL team wanting to trade for Kevin Byard, I'm not giving you the picks and picking up all the money.
Right. And that's where I need a capologist to tell me the $19 million of the cap hit. How much has that already been paid with the prorated guaranteed money and stuff that gets pushed? You know, I know basically what it is. So I don't think the new team would have to pay him $19 million against the cap. I think there would be some money that the Titans are already on the hook for or already have paid, and they have to shoulder that. So he might be more attractive because of that for a trade. So what could you get? That's something you have to explore.
It's on the table. This could not be an issue. Next week, next month, whenever we get to mandatory minicamp and to training camp, it may not be an issue. But he's not there today, and that's all we know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Right back into your thoughts and some updates from OTAs. But I did promise a giveaway, so here you go. 1025 and 1063, the game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, May 26th, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality THC products. Text in the keyword Dave, D-A-V-E, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win into the text line that is Dave, D-A-V-E, for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, May 26th. Good luck with that. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 1025-1063, the game, and the game, Nashville app. Let's get in some of your thoughts from Titans OTAs today. We heard from Tim Kelly earlier today. Do you feel good about the receiver room?
Yep.
All right, cool. Thanks for expanding on that, Tim. Love that. Justin and Greenback.
And he did, eventually.
And he did. He did expand upon that. He did expand upon that because Jared asked the question. It's a very fair question. It's the same question that we've been asking ourselves all off season long, really ever since this past season of, hey, Robert Woods isn't cutting it. Moving on from Robert Woods, what else are you going to do to kind of give some oomph to this receiver room? Jared asked the question, do you feel good about the receiver room? Yup, we know you're lying, Tim. So we asked to kind of clarify, what exactly is it that makes you confident about this receiver room? This was Tim Kelly.
Why do you feel comfortable that you have enough at receiver?
Because I've seen these guys play. I've seen these guys make plays in big games. You want to talk about Nick Westbrook, you can go watch the Washington Redskins or the Commanders film, last year when he went up and made a huge play for us. You want to talk about Kyle Phillips, you can go and watch the New York Giants film when he caught a play or a bull route at the end of the two-minute drive to put us in position to win the game. You want to talk about Treylon Burks, you can go ahead and watch the Cincinnati Bengals game when he went up over the top on that deep ball. I mean, there's examples. You can turn on the Cowboys game and go watch Racy. You can watch all the catches that Chris had. There's enough examples of all these guys making plays at this level. It's just our job to make sure that we can get them to do it consistently.
And that is his job. And I would agree. We've seen flashes of some good things, of Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, of Kyle Phillips. But that's the problem. It was just flashes. It wasn't consistent production from any of those guys. And also, I saw the Washington Commanders catch from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, a game-changing catch. It was a great catch. We all know that those kinds of game-wrecking plays aren't going to come from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine every single day. Those just aren't fair expectations. And it's also not just looking at the individual flashes and the individual plays that they've made. It's looking at it as a whole. Because while Treylon Burks did show flashes, Treylon Burks did struggle to stay on the field with an injury. That's a concern. While Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had a great catch against Washington, he's not a consistent go-to guy. While Kyle Phillips showed a lot of good things against the New York Giants early in the season and in training camp last season, he was a training camp darling. He also struggled to stay healthy. So I can see the good things. I know that that's Tim Kelly's job, and what he wants to do is to make those good things not just individual good things, but consistent play. That we don't just see catches like that every once in a while, that Treylon Burks is a consistent go-to guy. But that's just not what we've seen.
It's a tough position for Tim Kelly to be in his first year, because he doesn't have a known quantity in any of these guys. And so he's trying to be positive. He's trying to say, okay, I've got guys who have flashed, and I've got some guys that I think have some ability. I've just got to get that out of them more consistently. It's a lot to ask. I mean, if you had two of those four guys, I mean, and I'm not even including the guy they got from Houston, which is Moore. Is that
Chris
his name?
Moore.
Chris Moore. I'm not even including him. But let's say Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Racy McMath, Treylon Burks, and Kyle Phillips. If you had two of those four guys bust out and have great years, that would be huge.
Yeah.
That'd be outstanding. Totally. I'd take that all day.
That's what we're all hoping. All of our fingers are crossed.
What are the chances that that happens? I don't know. I mean, and on what level? Like, a breakout for Kyle Phillips might just be stay out there for 17 games and be, you know, decent.
It's a step up.
That'd
from last
be a
year.
Big step up. But how much does that really help you win? Like, this is the tough thing about it. So he has to play this hand. This is what he was dealt with. He didn't choose to have this much inexperience, lack of certainty in the wide receiver position. This is how it's fallen to him. So he's trying to be positive. He wants to, you know, he knows that it's very likely that whatever he says in that press conference is going to get back to those guys, right? So he's got to try to back them. I think that's what he's trying to do today. So that was interesting how he went about that line of questioning there. And so, you know, this is going to be a thing for a long time until you see whether these guys break out or not.
Let's get to some of your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Justin in Greenbrier texts in, says, I know that Tim Kelly didn't wax poetic about his receivers, but he was there last year and saw them play. He has been around them and sees what they look like and how they're practicing. He is hopefully seeing them shaping up. Hope may not be a strategy, but he has been given a room full of men that have to prove that this is it this season. So hope is what he has. That's on the GM and coach, so he can't blame them or he won't have a job. That is on the GM and coach. Mike Vrabel on draft night, I believe it was actually after night three. I think earlier I said night two. After night three, when the Titans didn't address wide receiver until the seventh round. And Mike Vrabel said to the media, you're going to trust us. You're going to trust me to get this receiver room figured out. We haven't gotten there yet, and it doesn't look like there are very many prospects. Looking at free agency, looking at potential trade, we don't have much to trade. You don't have very many draft picks. You can't really afford to give away anyone else on your roster.
That's the thing to keep in mind. They need to be acquiring draft picks. They don't need to be trading draft picks. So, and like we said, even if there were players at the wide receiver position that are going to come free on June 1st, and I'm not hearing a whole lot of that. Like, we know that people are starved for things to talk about. If there were three great wide receivers, you know, on all the shows, they'd be saying so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so are coming. They're going to be cut June 1st. It's going to be a big receiver market. I don't think that's coming. Right? If you're sitting there anticipating that's the case, I think you're going to be left wanting. And then the other part of it we just talked about. It's not like they have a lot of money to go spend on it, even if there were wide receivers like that. So this is probably what you have to a large degree. Maybe it's another veteran guy that you take on a flyer, but that's all that guy would be either. It's not going to raise the level completely. You're not going to put everybody in the right seat, right? You're going to have to make do with what you got, and that's the challenge for Tim Kelly.
It's going to be a big challenge for Tim Kelly, and I do think that this could, and things can change. I know that it's only May 23rd. They could make a trade. They could pick someone up off a waiver wire. Things can change. I know that. But I think that this is a little bit of a rookie GM and coach with newfound leadership and newfound say in GMing. It's a little bit of a rookie mistake, because I remember it was either night two or night three, whenever after the draft, when Mike Vrabel said, well, you'll see on Monday, you'll see a bunch of guys become available on the waiver wire. Well, there were like 8 guys that became available on the waiver wire. So I think that this was a little bit of a learning experience, a little bit of a learning curve for a brand new GM and a coach who is GMing or have GM-esque duties for the first time, that when you need things addressed, you look in free agency, I don't see a whole lot in free agency, we're going to look to the draft. Okay, well, you didn't address wide receiver in the draft until the 7th round. Well, we'll look in the waiver wire. Well, there wasn't really anything available in the waiver wire. So just a little bit of a learning opportunity and a learning curve for those two that might bite them in the butt this season. Maybe Treylon Burks breaks out. Maybe Kyle Phillips can stay healthy and he's a contributing part to this football team and they save themselves and they look like they have a really good wide receiver tandem moving forward. I don't know. But I think Tim Kelly is showing us and telling us that he knows it's not great. We know it's not great, but you're going to have to make do with what you have. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Oh, and also, be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Noel Gallagher and Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and Garbage at First Bank Amphitheater on June 25th. Willie, take it away.
Okay. 90s-themed concert, so let's have a 90s-themed trivia question for a second straight day. So here we go. I'm thinking baseball this week. I'm loving baseball. Yesterday, we asked you about the 95 Braves. Okay, so today, we're going to go with another, I mean, you can say he's a little 80s guy, too, but we're going to go with Jose Canseco. He played well into the 90s. Jose, of course, came up with the Oakland A's, first 40-40 guy, all kinds of glitz and glitter, issues off the field. He was certainly in the spotlight. He was traded for the first time of many in his career in the 90s. He spent the 90s bouncing around to a lot of different teams. Who was the first team that traded for Jose Canseco? August 31st, 1992. It was a pretty big deal at the time. And the following players were in the deal: Jeff Russell, Ruben Sierra, and Bobby Witt. So what team traded for Jose Canseco? Traded with the Oakland A's on August 31st, 1992. If you like Noel Gallagher and his new band, along with Garbage, you're from that generation. If you know baseball, you're going to know this question. 615-737-1025. Who traded for Jose Canseco August 31st, 1992? Don't text the answer. You won't win. You got to call my crew back there. 615-737-1025.
Good luck with that. Have fun at Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Do you have enough at receiver right now?
Yeah.
I love that so much. You feel good about the receivers? Yep. Cool. Great. Wonderful.
Yep. Next question.
Next question. Yeah.
There was a circle back there. By the way, we got the answer. Do we have a winner? Back there we do. Because we had a couple of members of our staff texting, which you can't do to win, but they know they can't win. So Chase McCabe was correct. The suit texted. I believe Jared texted the answer too.
Jared also texted Texas Rangers.
Baseball fans, Chase and Jared, the Braves contingency. They knew about Jose Canseco getting traded to the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, in 1992. That was kind of shocking at the time. Superstar player, the Bash Brothers, all of that. Mm-hmm. And they just like, okay, Jose, we've had enough of your stuff. Moving on. Let's just move on.
No way, Jose.
Yeah. And the A's made the playoffs that year. Yeah. So they traded him with the idea this was going to make us better this year. And that was a controversial at the time, but it maybe wasn't wrong. Jose would have plenty of things, like the whole book about, here's all the people doing steroids. It's not just me. You know, remember that was eye-opening stuff, for sure.
Whenever you can point at people and say, well, I wasn't wrong because everyone else was wrong, too. It's like, no. You were still wrong. You're just in a group, a bigger population of people that were doing
right, but it was
thing.
Basically like, if I'm going down, I'm bringing everybody else down, too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for
that. And who knows? Maybe without that book and Ken Caminiti coming out and saying it, maybe we wouldn't have the testing that we have today. Because it needed to get reined in somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of it still goes on, but it's a little more...
It's a different era of baseball.
Yes, yes. Totally. We're not spending every day going, look at all these roided up guys.
Totally.
You know?
I want to get to this text from our dear, dear friend in Indianapolis, Indy Ben. Indy Ben texting
Indy
to the
Ben.
Text line.
Always
Indy
ready Ben. To stir it up. Okay.
I really do appreciate the dedication that Indy Ben has to a station that talks about his team's rival pretty much constantly. I don't know if Indy Ben lives in Nashville or if Indy Ben just detests the Titans so much that he surrounds himself
Who,
with Titans
quote,
talk.
Who, is Indy Ben? That's another topic for another
Who
day.
Who are you, Indy Ben? And why are you so angry? Indy Ben texts in and says, I don't understand why the possibility of the Titans having a down year isn't being discussed more on this station. First of all, that absolutely is a possibility. You've said several times that all of these predictions of the ESPN FPI ranking the Titans 28th and the article that came out this morning of the prediction of the Titans picking 6th in the NFL draft, those are all real possibilities. And I've said several times, Willie, you've said several times, maybe this team does stink this year. I don't know. But Indy Ben goes on to say they did just go 7-10 last year. And outside of the Skoronski edition, where are you sure that the Titans got better? This is one thing that frustrates me, and I think that we all, as sports fans, are guilty of it. We look at the outcome, and we don't look at how they got there. Whether that's a record, whether that's how you lose in the playoffs, whether that's a stretch of down years, we always look at, the Jags last year were just great because they got to the divisional round of the playoffs. The Titans, man, they stunk. They were horrible. They went 7-10 on a 7-game losing streak. Yes. However, it took the Titans to go on a major slide and a major skid at the end of the season for the Jags to even win the division and make the playoffs. And why did they go on that skid? Well, I mean, their elite pass rusher sprained his ankle. Their quarterback sprained his ankle. Leading receiver and first round pick was on and off the field with injury. Was concussed at the end of the season. Had turf toe in the middle of the season. They were the most injured team in the National Football League. Their general manager got fired in the middle of the season, and their offensive coordinator got arrested for a DUI after arguably his best game of the season. So if you want to talk about that path, I think that gives a little bit more clarity to the 7-10 and the 7-game losing streak. I don't think that all 7-10s are created equal. So when Indy Ben says, where are you sure the Titans got better? I'm not sure, but I think that with the change of offensive coordinator, that makes me a lot more optimistic. With these players getting healthy, that makes me a whole lot more optimistic. And Indy Ben saying, well, you just added Skoronski. How does that make you better? The offensive line was that bad last year that just one addition of a first-round pick of an offensive lineman, and we'll see what Skoronski is, that at least gives me hope and optimism. Maybe that means nothing. Hope and optimism could mean nothing.
This is what's great about the NFL, and really all sports that now have the salary cap in some form. It's very tough to predict. It's tough. I mean, baseball doesn't have a salary cap. It's still, to some degree, not easy to predict. It's probably a little more predictable, even though pitchers get hurt, all of that stuff, X factors. But I think you can make a comparison between the Titans and the Predators and the offseason decisions that both teams are making right now. Mm-hmm. It's how much are you playing for the current year? Because you could make the case for the Titans that, yeah, they're due for a bounce back. They're due to have a little luck with injuries. And if everybody comes back and they stay healthy, could they win 10 games? Yeah. Now, is the ceiling AFC contender? No. And that has to be part of your decision. And then the other part of it is, should you be really having your eye on the next 2, 3, 4 seasons and moving on to another area, another era, I should say. The faster you get to that mindset, the faster you'll really have a loaded roster or at least have a chance to have a loaded roster that can compete. Because what is Indy Ben not saying? Yeah, all these predictions have the Titans around 28th, but below them are the Colts and the Texans. So they play in a division that's kind of gettable.
It's one of the easier schedules. Yeah.
So can you take advantage of that? And do you want to try for it? Right now, as long as they have Tannehill, Henry, and Byard on the roster, you feel like, okay, the makings are there if things fall right, that they could have some success.
Totally. And look, Tim Kelly might be a doofus. Peter Skoronski could be a bust. Treylon Burks could continue to get injured this season, and we are right back where we were this past season. I don't know. I mean, it very much so is in the cards that this team could probably not be very good. I'm just not willing to buy into the narrative that everyone is counting out the Titans. Like in this article on ESPN.com that predicts the Titans picking sixth in this upcoming NFL draft, that says, well, the offense is a problem. Quarterback Ryan Tannehill and a declining Derrick Henry.
Sure. Maybe that's not going to be the outlier. I think you're going to have a lot of predictions like that.
Totally.
Agree?
I 100% agree. Because I also think an aspect of that is looking at the 7-game losing streak, looking at how the season ended, looking at the record this past season, also acknowledging that Ryan Tannehill doesn't get a whole lot of respect, that running backs as a whole just don't demand a whole lot of respect or attention around the NFL. And all of those things combine into, oh, the Titans, well, they run the ball and they were awful last year. Yes, but I think that you also have to keep all of that in mind. I don't think that the Titans are going to be horrendous or as horrible as picking sixth in this year's NFL draft.
If they reasonably go for it. You know, you can't mortgage the future at this point. You have to hedge your bets a little bit here. It's not smart, but with the team that they have, if it falls right, there's potential there for some success, and hopefully, if you have it all, if you thread the needle. You have a good year this year, and then you say goodbye to some veteran guys, and you are in a better position to start over next year. That would be tough. If you won the division and you won a playoff, say you won wild card weekend, and then you lose to the Chiefs, you're like, hey, pretty good year. Let's run it back. I don't know if
maybe
that's
you know, pull up the stop sign there. One texter says, I think Indy Ben's just butthurt because the Colts suck. Maybe that's true. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stubman & Company is up next. Peace.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto.
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.